morning, everybody. I would love you all, if you haven't got one, please raise your hands and we'll give out some Bibles. We're not going to be using that today. We're going to study the Word of God in 2D, looking as well as listening. So we're going to be, we're going backwards in time. Today we're going to be looking at something. Look, iPhones. What's wrong with paper? Anybody else? John's got his own big version there. One more. Oh, we've run out. That's good. So today we're going to be looking at something that I believe is more rife than anything else in the church today. We're going to be looking at Matthew 7, if you would like to turn to it. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 6. Now this is a scripture that is very close to my heart. It's one that, it's one that everybody knows. Do not judge, or you will be judged. And before I became a Christian, I knew of this scripture. But it wasn't until after I became a Christian that it meant anything to me. And the reason it means a lot to me is the second line. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And I don't know about you, but I think we all should have a healthy fear of God. And I fear that day when God, or Jesus, will judge me. And in the same way that I judge others, I'm going to be judged. And it would do us all good to have a healthy fear of the judgment that Jesus is going to dish out. The one consolation is that whatever we receive, Jesus will dish it out righteously and justly. So that's the one consolation. John's laughing at the back there.
Dish it out.
But let's face it, we are going to be judged. And God is going to dish it out. In the same way that we dish it out. So let's read the scripture. Matthew 7, verses 1 to 6. And I think we are mostly reading from the NIV. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I love this bit. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Harsh words. But it's something that we all struggle with. And this particular week, whilst I've been preparing for this message, as I do all of the time that I preach, I try to live out what I'm going to be preaching. So this week, I've made a conscious effort to not judge. And believe you me, it's amazing how often you do. We do it. It comes so easily to us. Now, the world knows this scripture, and the world uses this scripture so often. It's probably one of the most famous quotes from the Bible other than John 3:16. And it is often interpreted to mean, don't you judge me. Who are you to judge me? Don't tell me how to bring up my kids. Don't tell me how to dress. Don't tell me how to live my life. Only God can judge me. So it's misinterpreted. Somebody, as a lot of us do, we take a line out of God's word and use it in the wrong context. Because if the world was to continue reading, it would mean something totally different. And that goes for us. And one thing we need to remember, as we've said throughout this series on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking to his disciples. We look at the Sermon on the Mount and we know that there were thousands of people there, and we automatically presume that Jesus is speaking to the crowd. But he's actually speaking to his disciples. And the crowd come alongside and listen. So let's remember that Jesus is speaking to us, his believers. Now, is that what Jesus is saying about judging? Don't tell me how to live my life. Don't tell me how to bring up my kids. Is that what Jesus is really saying? And I think we would all agree that whatever it means, judging others is the cause of all kinds of conflict. Whether it is judging people based on the colour of their skin, or how they dress, or what religion they side with, or where they live. And so understanding and practicing this is critical to peace in our relationships and in the world today. So, what does Jesus mean when he says, do not judge? Well, one thing it can't mean is that we are not to evaluate the difference between right and wrong. If Jesus is not saying that. Don't judge Hitler. We know that Hitler was an evil swine. Don't judge child molesters. We know that that's evil. We're not judging them. We're evaluating what they have done. What would it be like if we had no judges? What would it be like if we had no police? The world would be in chaos. So we have to evaluate the difference between right and wrong. Furthermore, look at the context of the passage. In verse 6, Jesus says, not to give to dogs what is sacred, or throw your pearls to pigs. Now you can't do that unless you're evaluating and making judgments about who is a dog and who is a pig. And in verse 15 he goes on to say, watch out for false prophets. Once again, we need to be able to evaluate right and wrong to call somebody a false prophet. So Jesus is not saying that we cannot judge. We have to judge. But we have to judge in the right way. One thing that comes across in the Sermon on the Mount, one key thing from chapter 5 to the end of chapter 7 clearly stands out, and that is the heart. Jesus is talking about the heart. That's the difference between us and people outside of the church, or it should be, the heart. And these 4 points that I believe Jesus is speaking about from this phrase. The first point, do not be hypercritical. Do not be hypercritical. Note the change in the word, the one letter that makes it different from hypocritical. We're talking about do not be hypercritical. To be hypercritical is to actively search for flaws in other people. Criticize. That's another word for it. Do not criticize. How many of us do? So easily done. It's like breathing. We don't always intend to, but as soon as you hear somebody else say, oh, did you see her in church today? Oh, I know, what was that dress like? You know, you don't mean it. Well, maybe you do mean it. But it's so easy to be drawn, oh yeah, I know, it was disgusting, wasn't it? And before you know it, you're there. It's like breathing. Gossipers, for instance, often point out the faults in others. They're not concerned about tearing somebody down. It's like the tabloids' way of looking at life. So easy to criticise, but the hurt and the anger it can cause is devastating. To them, Jesus says, in the same way you judge, you're going to be judged. Now that in itself is sobering. In the same way I criticize anybody, I'm going to get it back. And in the same measure. That's very sobering. If you are eager to find fault in others and criticize, you will be judged the same way by God. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 2. Most of the scriptures we're going to be looking at is that side of the Bible. So I will give you a minute to find it. For anyone who doesn't know where it is, shame on you. It's after Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, Acts, then Romans. I'm not judging. I'm not judging. I'm evaluating. Lord, forgive me if I did judge. Romans 2, 1 to 5 says this. You, therefore, have no excuse. Look, he's sitting there smugly laughing there. You therefore have no excuse. You who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself. Because you who pass judgment do the same things. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them, and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. That's hard. And yet that is exactly what we are doing. And we don't realize it. There will be judgment based on what we do. Thank God that we will not be judged on our sins. Because our sins, once we have repented of them, are forgiven us. And they are cast into the deepest ocean, never to be resurrected. So we won't be judged on our sins if we have repented of them. But we will be judged on what we do or do not do. And there will be reward for the good we do, or lack of reward for the things that we don't do. Romans 14, please. Verses 10 to 13. Again, I say that Jesus was speaking to his disciples. Paul is now doing the same thing as well. You then, why do you judge your brother? Why do we? Why do we judge our brother or sister? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee, without a doubt, will bow before me. Every tongue will confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. So that's the first point. Do not be hypercritical, or do not criticize. Secondly, do not judge matters of conscience or personal preference, which we so easily do. 1 Corinthians, please. Next book along. Chapter 4, verses 3 to 7. I love this that Paul says, I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear. But that does not make me innocent. And you know, we do that so easily, don't we? We'll judge somebody, or we'll say something about somebody, or we'll criticize somebody, and we will have a way of believing in ourselves that we're doing it for the right reason. We don't really care what others may think. But as Paul says there, that does not make me innocent. Just because you think it's right, and it's your right to say something about somebody else, that might not be so in God's eyes on that day. And why does Paul say that? He says, it is the Lord who judges me. He's the one you're going to have to answer to. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. Now, brothers, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what is written. Then you will not take pride in one man over another. Now we can evaluate right and wrong on the basis of what is written. But do not go beyond that in judging. Especially on personal preference. If you go back to Romans 14, Paul explains why. So Romans 14, verses 1 to 6. Everybody got it? Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat anything or everything. But another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who doesn't. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does. For God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat does so to the Lord. For he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. There are many disputable matters. Drinking, smoking, what you wear, what you watch, what music you listen to. All disputable matters. I remember, for example, many years ago, when I first became a Christian, I heard somebody say, you shouldn't be listening to that music. Get rid of it. It's of the devil. And I thought, and I collected albums as a younger person, and I had probably 300 or 400 albums. And that day I went home and I went through them all. That's got to go. That's got to go. Don't know about that, but I'll get rid of it anyway. I went through my books. Shouldn't be reading that. Shouldn't be reading that. Because so and so says so. And I got rid. And some of the books, I agree, had to go. Some of the albums, in later years, I thought, well, I didn't struggle with that. And slowly, I bought them back. But I'm not saying that the chap that said it was wrong. He believed that he shouldn't be listening to that sort of music. But that didn't mean that I shouldn't. I would say to you, if you allow the Holy Spirit to work within you, the Holy Spirit will guide and direct. For instance, Sandra and I, we might sit on the couch one night and go through the television thing. Most nights not find anything to watch. But then something might be there and we think, oh yeah, we'll watch that. Let's sit down and watch it. And we'll sit down and we'll start to watch it. And within 5 minutes, I may get up and say, no, don't want to watch this. But if Sandra continued to watch it, I wouldn't judge her. Because it's okay, she feels it's okay for her to watch that. But I, in my spirit, might feel I don't want to watch this. And that's the greatest judge. The Holy Spirit working with my spirit, telling me that's okay, but that's not. So we mustn't judge what somebody else is wearing. It might be the loudest shirt on the planet, but if they want to wear it, who are we to judge? There is only one judge. So don't judge somebody else on personal preferences or matters of conscience. Thirdly, do not look down on anybody. And that can come very easily to some people. Turn with me, please, to, oh, you might already be in it, Romans 14, verse 10. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? Think of the Pharisee and the tax collector. We're going back now to Luke chapter 18. Told you you'd be working today. Isn't it better than that? John shaking his head there. Luke 18, verses 9 to 14. One that we all know. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and one a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You see, a judgmental attitude is a self-righteous spirit. A feeling of superiority, despising others, regarding them with contempt. And we can do that. I am holier than thou. I'm not really, but we can say that. We exalt ourselves by disparaging others, and it's a very cheap and nasty way of attaining moral superiority. Jesus doesn't want us to do that. So please don't do it. Easier said than done. Fourthly, do not condemn. Why not? Why shouldn't we condemn? simply because you and I are not in God's seat. He's the one we have to answer to. He is the one that we must fear. And I don't mean, you know, I'm scared, God. But on the day of judgment, we will be shaking and quaking at our knees. As I said, our only consolation is that He is a just and righteous God. 1 Corinthians 4, 3 to 5, which we've already read, where Paul says, I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Jesus is going to judge me, and I accept that. John 8, 7. You don't need to turn to it, it's only one line. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, if any of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. So, if you are to judge others for their flaws, how are we to react to the flaws that we do see in people? We have to evaluate. We have to be able to tell our brothers or sisters when they are going wrong. But it comes down to the heart. We cannot just turn round and say, well, live and let live. Let them get away with it. Is that right as well? Because that's the only other way we usually think. Well, I don't really want to get involved. I don't really want to have to say that to somebody. I'll just let it go. Because you're doing them an injustice. It is right and loving to point these things out. Look what it says in verse 3. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Jesus is saying your brother has a speck in his eye. There is something wrong. Now, I'm sure we have all at some time or other had something in our eye. And it's horrible. You rub, 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 rub. And it's tiny. The tiniest thing. But Jesus is saying, allow your brother to help you take that speck out. But how are you going to see the speck when you've got a dobbing big plank in your own eye? You can't. I mean, I can't even picture somebody on a plank in their eye. But, alright, say a bigger speck. But it's true, if you have something in your eye, how are you going to go and help your brother to take the speck out of his eye? First, remove the speck from your own eye. How do you do that? You've got to examine yourself. If you know a brother or sister is doing something that is wrong, that is going to cause them to go down the wrong path, you have a duty to let that person know. Either bring it to your elders and ask the elders to deal with it, but before you go in all guns blazing, first examine yourself. 10 to 1, what your brother or sister is struggling with, you're struggling with yourself. And that's being a hypocrite. Take care of your own issues first. and then you will have a gentle spirit to go and help your brother or sister. Galatians 6. Jesus tells us, or rather Paul is telling us now, 1 and 2. Brothers, if someone, sorry, I can hear pages still flapping. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now the word restore, in verse 1, restore him gently, is the same word that is used for setting a broken bone. Something that must be done gently. Think about your attitude when you see an obvious flaw in somebody. Think to yourself, before I wade in, am I doing it for the right reasons, or am I doing it to crush someone? And it's true, when you start to criticise somebody, you don't generally do it with a nice feeling about that person, do you? It usually is a negative way of reacting. Before you do it, stop and ask yourself, am I criticising this person in a positive way? Is it going to lift them up? Are they going to get better if I tell them? Or am I going to crush their spirit? Usually, unfortunately, it's in the negative. Finally, in verse 6, Jesus says, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls after pigs. I used to struggle with that. I didn't know what that meant. Throw pearls after pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. The Christian message, the gospel, is the pearl. The pearl of great price. Matthew 13, 45 and 46 tells us, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and bought it. The dog is the scavenger. A fierce and dangerous half-wild animal. We must distinguish between people as we share the gospel in word and deed. You know that some people are going to be challenging. Families, for instance. You want them saved. You want to tell them the good news. But you know that you are going to end up in an argument. Is it right to not say anything to them? Or should you be preaching the gospel to them? You know your family better than anybody. Before you go in and think to yourselves, right, today I'm going to tell them the gospel, whether they want to hear it or not. You're not going in with the right attitude. Pray about it. If you know you're going to family and you're thinking, oh my goodness, there's going to be booze all over the place, there's going to be food that I don't normally eat, but I've got to go. Pray that the Holy Spirit will go with you. Ask the Lord for a gentle spirit within. And ask the Lord for the opportunity to speak when it's the right time. You also know that somebody is going to be against it. No matter how nice you are, no matter how gentle you are, there are people who don't want to know. Don't talk to me about God! That's a clear example. Don't throw your pearls after swine. But believe you me, there are going to be people in heaven you thought, oh my goodness, I didn't expect to see you here. Why? Because God is good. Jesus died for them as much as he died for you. God knows those who are going to come. And God will give you opportunities to tell them about him. You don't have to do it in your own strength. The Holy Spirit is there to guide. So first, have a look at yourself. Am I the right person for this? Am I doing it right? Is it for me to say to that person, you need to change this or that? And the Holy Spirit will gently guide you. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 10. What does Jesus say about this? Always refer back to the scriptures for guidance. It's your guidebook in life. Jesus knew this was going to happen. Matthew 10, 13 to 15. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom or Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. Jesus knows there are going to be people out there who don't want to know. But you need his guidance as to which ones do want to know. It might not be you whose job it is to bring your family, your son, your daughter, your wife or husband to the Lord. It could be someone else. But that doesn't stop you from praying for them. But don't shove it down the throats every opportunity you get. Paul does something similar in Acts 13:44. When the crowd rejects the gospel, Paul and Barnabas shake the dust off their feet and move on to the Gentiles. Thank God for that. As the Jews stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas. Some don't want to know. We do. So, finally, and I mean finally, how do you become a person who does not judge? With difficulty. Everything about the gospel needs to be learned. Paul had to learn. Jesus had to learn. We are no different. Paul says, I have learned to be content. It's not something that comes overnight. But I tell you this, if you make a conscious effort to not gossip, when you know that there's a group over there that are gossiping, walk away. Don't go and join in. When you're coming to a situation and you think, I knew that he was going to do that today, pull yourself up. Say, no, I am being negative. Forget it. And believe you me, it will change your life. One thing I hope, that if I was to ask somebody, I hope that I would hear an answer No, I don't think you are a judgmental person. Because I don't want to be judgmental. I know I still do it, but I'm working at it. And it's something we all need to learn. Remind yourselves that what you dish out, it's going to be dished out to you in the same measure. The old saying, treat others as you would want to be treated. I don't know whether that's in the Bible, but it should be. Treat others as you would want yourself to be treated. If you don't want to be judged, don't judge others. Remember, Jesus is the pearl of great price. Follow after him. Ask the Holy Spirit to make you more like him. That's what the Holy Spirit's here for. So that in the end, we glorify the pearl of great price. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for Jesus and his teachings. The Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached. We can learn so much from it. And we ask you this week, Holy Spirit, that you will draw alongside us and that you will touch our inner man so that when we start to criticize, judge, condemn, look down our noses at others, you'll pull us up short and make us aware of what we are doing. Convict us, Holy Spirit, this week, I pray, so that we will go on and learn how not to be judgmental. Give us a yearning to study your word, Lord, because your word is truth, and the truth will set us free. We love you. We adore you, Jesus, the pearl of great price. Give us a discerning spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name.